Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rianne Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Friday, and we are leading into Memorial Day weekend, which is usually a super fun weekend to kick off the summer, except the weather is going to be extremely shitty where we are.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Very unfortunate. It's been super...
Sorry, Noah. I forgot to turn my camera on. I don't want to upset the people.
Sorry, I forgot to turn my camera on. No, it's been... It's like today's... The weather this week in New York has been so nice, and now this weekend, not so nice. Rain, kind of cold, but we have some days off, which is great. Some relaxation time. We won't have an episode on Monday. We haven't said that. Monday is Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day, and we won't have an episode. We'll be back on Wednesday. I'm excited for just a couple days to chill.
Yes, we have a four-day weekend, which is always exciting. But yeah, the weather's going to be shitty, but that's okay. Sometimes sitting inside, watching movies, the Friend reunion.
Mare of Easttown finale Sunday night.
Ooh!
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
If you're not watching Mare of Easttown, Rhea's already talked about it and told you all to watch it, and then I watched it, and now I'm also telling you to watch it.
I love when I get a good rec out there.
It's a good one.
When I say, hey, everybody, really, you got to really watch good. This, and then it's confirmed, everyone's like, yeah, you know what?
That was you were in on it early.
Yeah.
I was, but...
For sure. I had to watch four episodes. I watched them all on the plane to L.A. and crushed them all. Four in a row.
And what was funny was she was like, I'm definitely not going to watch all of them. Like, I'll probably watch an episode, then I'll go back to the circle.
Yeah, I watched them straight through.
Great show. Get on top of that if you haven't watched already.
Joe thought I was having like an actual nervous breakdown because now in the apartment setup, it's like, you know, one TV and he wasn't watching. I watched and then I felt bad because I was like, the show's really, really good. You should try and catch up.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done that. So I was like, well, I got to watch. But I didn't want to watch it on the big TV just in case he is going to watch it at some point. So I'm sitting with watching on my iPad with my headphones in and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And he's like, thought I was talking to him. Mm-hmm. I was like, leave me alone. I'm watching this show.
I mean, the show is so, so good. And listen, the finale is this weekend, so you can catch up.
Mm-hmm.
There's only seven episodes or there's
six episodes. Seven
in total.
Is the finale.
Okay. Yeah. So listen, if you're in a state where it's rainy this weekend, binge watch Mare of Easttown.
Knock that out real quick.
Knock it out. I'm really excited. I love shows like this. Like, I think Mare of Easttown, you know, we talked about The Undoing a lot, which had kind of a similar vibe. Cruel Summer has a similar. I love these shows that are just murder mystery, psychological thriller type. I keep seeing commercials for Nine Perfect Strangers, which is Nicole Kidman's new show. It comes out in August on Hulu, and I can't wait. Yeah. I'm like, August? I need it now, because anything Nicole Kidman is in, I will watch straight up. I think she is so, so captivating.
She is.
You see her face on screen and you can't look away. And on top of that, Big Little Lies and The Undoing were...
Did you watch the most recent Cruel Summer?
No, not yet.
So don't spoil it. Yeah, I heard it was really good. Obviously, I talked about this with Olivia Holt.
Yes.
My parents are obsessed.
Yes.
It's all they talk about are these shows.
No, Nine Perfect Strangers is also an incredible book. Really good, so... I think that just confirms, like, you know, it'll be a great series as well. It's the same kind of thing. Big Little Lies, written Leanne Moriarty, same kind of thing. This is also one of her books. So they're just, like, hitting the formula. Take it to HBO and put Nicole Kidman in it. And that's
all
you got to do.
That's all. Put Nicole Kidman in anything, people are watching. I want to talk about The Bachelorette for a second because I feel like it's coming up quick on us.
Yeah.
2 weeks until... Yeah. The premiere
Like a week and a half.
A week and like
a few days.
3 days.
Yeah.
It's a week from Monday.
Insanity. We totally missed the bios.
The bios are out.
The bios were out, went over our heads. You know that we do that every single time.
I think we still have time to do it before the premiere, maybe for next Friday.
We'll get them done. Because we can't do a season without doing that.
No, and I got to learn about these guys. I don't know anything about them.
Right.
I feel unprepared.
Is Blake Moynes being in the trailer a true thing?
Yeah.
that guy.
Yeah.
That guy, Blake, done did it.
He really cracks me up. He also tweeted that I was laughing last night. I passed a girl on the street, and she tweeted afterwards that she saw me on the street. And it was like, fangirled over seeing her on the street. Blake Moynes, I replied to the tweet because I was carrying a Squishmallow around my arm. And I was like, please excuse the fact that I was carrying a giant Squishmallow into work. And Blake, like, replied to the girl who tweeted it being like, I would have done the same. Blake, what?
Excuse me, Blake? You've been on the show.
He just, like, these are the little things that just, like, really crack me up where I'm like, this fucking guy. Yeah, you're just kidding. Fangirling was, I just walked past at Barzal Friend. He wrote, I would too.
That's hilarious.
Thanks, Blake Moynes. But he is in the trailer, and it kind of looks like a Say Anything moment. He's like, she's on a balcony. It looks like he might have like a boombox over his head kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's going to be a different story for us this time with Blake Moynes, right? Last time we saw him on our TV, he annoyed the shit out of us. Now this time we're Team Blake, so we're going to be rooting hard for him.
Of course we will. I was going to say I'm excited for the season. It came out. You can tell I wasn't when I said that.
Yeah.
But I'm always excited for a new season, obviously.
I am too.
It's just, we talked about this in an upcoming podcast that we did with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that. But it was just like the narrative that was made around this season.
Yeah.
We talked about it before. The E! News article that made it seem like all the girls couldn't work together.
Right.
It was a whole thing. So I'm just excited to see how it turns out.
Yeah, we're jumping back in after all the controversy.
Yes.
It's just like, oh boy, we're really doing this again, huh?
Right. Like, oh, so, I'm back on the saddle.
Yeah, we're just hoping that things go smoothly.
Yep, exactly. But I think it's time to get into the show, Francesca.
Let's do it. I have one thing I want to say.
I was going to say, you shouldn't acknowledge something that happened in the set.
Yeah,
just for people
this
who
is actually
it.
Exactly
oh,
what I was going to say.
Okay,
no,
good.
Wow, on the same page. Our sign already broke. No, it didn't already break, but we have too many things booked in this room on a very long power strip, and it's not pulling enough power for the sign.
We actually
and
did
so
show
we
the
already
moment
have,
it broke in the last YouTube. You can go during an ad read, see Rhea.
Have it glitch and go out. So we're already signless.
We are already.
And, you know, hopefully,
a fake podcast again because the neon sign is done.
We're back
so
to frauds.
We are fucking fake ass podcasters.
Yeah.
And that's all right. Oh, I actually wanted to talk about something exciting that happened to me yesterday, which, whatever. A little humble brag, real quick. There is a female comedian who I love very, very much, Annie Letterman. I have been a fan of her. I love her. She cracks me up. I watch her podcast, Bloodbath, which is really, really funny. And I just, anything that she puts out, I'm consuming. She DM'd me yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's the best DM I've ever gotten. Like, we get DMs. We've gotten some DMs from guys. We've gotten DMs from girls.
Yeah.
You know, they're all exciting. But she DM'd me about coming on the show, Chicks in the Office, and she also called me hilarious hot bitch, which I love. First of all, being called hot and also a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So those
True.
Two things made me love her even more. And I think she's going to come on the show, which will be really, really fun because we don't usually have a lot of comics on this show. And I think it'll be a different type
True.
Of show. And also just, it made me happy because I love when other women DM us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always a nice feeling when another woman's like, you know what? I appreciate you. And I'm like, I really appreciate you.
Yep.
So that was very exciting. But
we'll have her on.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
But let's get into the topics for today's show. On a recent podcast, we talked about Rita Ora's new relationship with Taika Waititi. New information coming out about this. New pictures. Rita Ora, Tessa Thompson, Taika Waititi having a very public PDA moment. The three of them together. Kim Kardashian clarified whether or not her and Travis Barker have ever hooked up. It looks like Ryan Seacrest is out on the hunt for a new Kardashian reality TV show. And it seems like he's looking at Bella Thorne's family.
Mm.
And Ariana Grande released her wedding photos, which were obviously beautiful. And we have a great interview with Sophia Bush, who is just marvelous.
Just loved everything about her.
She is so lovely, and obviously she has the best voice. Like,
the
Sophia
best.
Bush just has an awesome voice.
Always.
So listen for that fact alone, even
I know.
Though
I had
we
so
know
much more
Hill
I wanted
fans.
To talk to her about, too, and we just ran out of time, unfortunately.
Ran out of time, unfortunately, but I'm sure we'll have her
I hope
back
she comes
again.
Back. Yeah.
I think
yeah.
she will. So
Trent just messaged a group that he just walked by Kit. Outside of the office just now.
Wow.
Wow.
We'll chase her down.
any interaction.
I doesn't seem like he.
Yeah, I feel like we would have heard like, a little bit more than that, a little interaction.
I'm surprised that's the first time. Like, they're, all those girls are in New York all the time. It's only a matter of time before we walk past them.
Trent, like when she walked
by. She probably texted her friends, I just walked by Luggage Guy Trent.
Yeah.
Who
probably
knows?
At the same moment.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get into the show, starting off with Kim Kardashian and Travis Barker.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Kim Kardashian did a little Q&A on her Instagram story, and she cleared up whether or not her and Travis Barker have ever had a romantic relationship, have ever hooked up before. Yeah. She wrote, false, it's a false narrative, and that she's happy for him and Courtney. So I think we just got to take it from the queen's mouth.
Yeah.
I think
she's lying, though.
She could be lying.
She would never say, yeah, that did happen.
Right, but I think if it did happen, they would have just kept ignoring what was going on, and that was a Q&A you could pick which questions you want to answer. She didn't have to answer that question. She went out of her way to say false narrative, and maybe it is true, but maybe the whole family is like, no, we're just going to squash this right now. Either way, I'm believing Kim K. Maybe Travis Barker wanted to hook up with her. They were friends. Maybe he tried to pursue her, and Courtney was with Scott. Maybe Kim was single at the time. Who knows? But everyone's happy for Travis and Courtney. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny? My aunt, we were talking, and she was like, you know what couple I really love? Travis Barker and Courtney Kardashian. Yeah. I was like, what? She goes,
everybody's on the train.
She goes, at first I was confused by it, but she's very much about like energy and crystals, mm-hmm. and she does Reiki healings and all that. She's actually very good. But she was like, I can feel their energy as a couple through their pictures.
And
I was like, you know what?
Damn, can Aunt Mayor, I believe you.
It's
Fox,
sexual.
I'll ask her. She might say yes. She's very good with that stuff. She feels it. And I was like, you know what? I believe you, and I feel it too.
I absolutely agree with that. Did you see Benny Drama did a very funny video of him doing Courtney, like punk rock Courtney? Mm-hmm. Very, very funny. But the two of them together have been great. Kim doing the Q&A. It's like every once in a while, Kim's just got to do one of these, clear up some rumors, just hit us all in the face with the truth. She also answered one about her getting sued because they were saying that she hadn't paid past workers that had worked at her house. And she said, you know, that wasn't true. I paid the vendor. The vendor was supposed to pay the workers. That was on the vendor, not her. So just kind of clearing up some things. It's like the 5-minute Kardashian rumor mill. She should just have like a weekly appointment, weekly Insta story where she just replies to some of the craziest stories. She won't because they don't pay that much. Like they never address everything, but
yeah. And she also addressed the bar exam. She did not pass her baby bar exam, and there were rumors that she was rethinking being a lawyer because she didn't pass. But on her story, she said she's not gonna give up,
right? And that's on the episode. It seemed like she was maybe gonna stop trying,
right? She's on her story, she said she's not giving up, she's gonna try again. And I just love Kim Kardashian. I just do. I love Kim Kardashian, and I'm not afraid to hide it. Everything she does,
I feel like
I
you just needed, like, I'm trying to think of, like, I feel like you just need a t-shirt that says, I love Kim Kardashian.
I do, because I feel like Kim Kardashian, obviously, we talk about it all the time, the Kardashians, they get so much shit, people hate on them, but I think that Kim Kardashian is very self-aware.
Yeah.
I think she knows what people think about her, obviously, but she knows how to play into it, and I also think she's very smart.
Yeah.
I think people underestimate how smart she is, yes.
Especially when you, like, are so publicly talking about taking the test, and you're studying so hard, and all on the show, they show her studying so much, and then she has to be like, well, didn't pass.
How would you rank your favorite Kardashian?
Well, I was going to say, I feel like the question is always coming up, who's your favorite Kardashian? And people don't say Kim because Kim is the Kardashians, right?
Yeah.
So saying Kim feels like the cliche answer.
It's
but
Kim,
I think
though.
I'm going to say Kim. It's Kim in all forms. It's
like
got to be
Kendall's
Kim Kardashian.
Like the cool answer.
Kendall's not the most likable. You asked us who we liked the most.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, I feel like that's, like, the cool
right,
thing to say.
Yeah, like, I think...
Because she's, like, the cool one.
No, I think you're right. I think if you were to be, like, and I was trying to be cool, I'd be like, oh, well, I like Kendall. But I mean, I like Kendall's sense of style, and I like her fashion, but we don't really see much of her personality.
No.
And I think, you know, I love Kylie, too. I think Kylie has a great personality. I think we see more of Kylie's personality than Kendall. I think I would rank mine, Kim being number one.
Mm-hmm. And these are just who you like the most, at least.
But I really like them all, to be honest.
I mean, you can like them all, but you can still put them in order.
I think Kim's number one. Kylie number two.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
Kim number one. Kylie number two. Three.
I have mine.
Okay, then you go.
Okay. Mine is Kim, Chloe, Kendall, Kylie, Courtney.
Wow, Courtney. She would be my top two.
I mean, I like Courtney. This is what I said. I like all of them, but Courtney is going last.
I almost would put Courtney before Chloe at this point in my life. I used to really love Chloe. Chloe used to be a fave.
I really like Chloe. But Chloe just has a better sense of humor than all of them. She can just take a joke better than the rest
of them.
That's
why I'm really struggling right now. Okay.
And I've only feel like we've heard really I mean, we hear nice things about all of them, but especially Chloe.
I want to do Kim number one and then all the rest of them tie at number two.
No, I can't.
Okay. Number one, Kim. Two, Kylie.
Mm-hmm.
Three,
you're really struggling with this.
Really struggling.
I really am because I really like Kendall's fashion sense a lot.
More than all of them.
And Kendall,
we're not ranking their fashion sense.
But like who she hangs out with, like Tyler the Creator.
Because if we're ranking fashion sense, Kendall's like, number one by far.
Like out of all of them, who I'd want to be friends with the most would be Kendall.
Okay.
Or Kylie. Closer in age, you know, the friend groups are cool. Okay, I just got to shut my eyes and do it.
Yeah, just...
Okay.
K, come on.
Kim, Kylie.
Do it.
You just got to pick a third.
You just
got to
do
come.
It.
That's what I'm struggling the most with. Kim, Kylie, Kendall, Chloe, Courtney.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to put Courtney before Chloe right now, but I know in the heart of hearts, I do enjoy Chloe's humor more.
And I just think we have more in common with Chloe than we do Courtney.
Right. So I'm going to go Kim.
Wait, what do you mean in common?
Like, I just think we could hang out with Chloe. Like, I think Chloe, like, chills. She hangs. I think Chloe smokes weed. Like,
you know
what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, Chloe's, like, a fun time.
Kim.
Courtney's, like, going to be shoving spinach down my throat.
I'm actually changing it. I got a new one. Kim, Kylie, Chloe, Kendall, Courtney. Kim, Kylie, Chloe, Kendall, Courtney.
All it took was me saying Chloe smokes weed for her to be like, oh, shit, but so does Kendall.
I forgot. Kendall's, like, I'm
a
stoner.
Kylie does?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure. Kendall says she's a stoner, so.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh, Kendall. I think Kendall's back at third.
Do I take... No, but then that's the same list as yours. So I got to keep Kylie at number two.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I take Kylie at number two, put Chloe at number two, and then put Kylie, Kendall, Courtney, then
that's
I'm just stealing your list.
Yep.
All right, whatever. Moving on.
Anyway.
We spent entirely too much time
Way too long. Anyway, Kim didn't bang Travis Barker. End of story.
On one of our most recent episodes, we talked about Rita Ora and Taika Waititi becoming a couple, but then we got pictures and some articles about Taika Waititi, Rita Ora, and Tessa Thompson basically just having a little public PDA moment, the three of them together, making out all with each other, having a good time. I don't know. I support it.
I really think that's all it is. I think they're just having a good time. They're in Australia. They're filming the next Thor movie. Taika's directing. Tessa Thompson's in the movie. Because there are also pictures of Tessa Thompson kissing, like, some very hot model in Australia the same day as well. So just, like, they're just kissing.
Is it messed
up? Kissing everyone.
Is it messed up of me to assume that they're on drugs while doing this? And not harsh drugs, just maybe some fun ones?
No. I don't think that's wrong of you. It's very possible.
Under the influence of some sort.
Under the influence of some sort is probably very valid.
Yeah, I mean, that could be true, too. They could be completely sober. I don't know. I was just throwing that question out
there. I mean, it looks like they are drinking in the photo. Okay, like, there, yeah, it looks like there's some kind of... They got wine glasses of some... There's a yellow liquid in them.
Yeah.
There could be something funky
in
there.
In broad daylight, the three of them making out with each other screams... Shrooms.
Yeah.
Or, you know, anything. I don't know. I don't want to automatically assume that. I'm just joking. But either way, I think
they just love each other.
They're just having fun, and I support it. Whether they're all in a relationship together, whether it's just Rita, Aura, and Taika Waititi, and Tessa Thompson was just joining in on the fun.
Yeah.
Don't care. Either way, I'm happy for them.
Exactly. I really think it was just like, love you guys. Let's all kiss. Like, because there she is. Pictures of her kissing. Very hot model, man. Did you see these ones? He's very cute. Kind of gives me like Liam Hemsworth vibes from the side. His name's Zach Stenmark. He's an Australian model.
They all seem very horny that day.
Kissing and laughing in Sydney. Very horny. Very horny.
So horned up day.
Yeah.
The weather was nice.
They're filming a movie.
The sun is shining. They're filming a movie.
They're just like, you know what?
Let's fuck.
Normalize kissing your friends. That's all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I've told this story before.
Normalize kissing your friends. Maybe not
on the podcast. I told it when I was doing a live thing on TikTok where someone was like, have you and Fran ever kissed? And I was like, absolutely. Because one time, or we've definitely kissed maybe more than once.
Definitely more than once. Normalize kissing your pals.
We were... in Aruba, and Fran said something to me that was not so nice, remember? And I was like, well, that was kind of mean. And then you were like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And you were like, kiss me right now. And I was like, no. And you were like, you have to kiss me for it to be okay.
She was so drunk.
She was like, she told me to shut up randomly. Like, we were just in a group of people talking, and she wanted to get her story out. She was like, shut up, Rhea. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Fran. And then she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Like, I'm drunk. And then she was like, you have to kiss me right now. And I was like, no.
I'm taking this
I'll be completely honest, I don't remember this.
Yeah, no, she goes, and actually was so funny. This makes it even better. We were with like a group of guys who were in a bachelor party, and they were so sweet. We've talked about this. They just came and sat and hung out. They're sitting at the table. This is when Fran goes, Rhea, you have to kiss me right now. I'm like, no, Fran. And she was like, you have to, so we're okay. And so I kissed her, and then all the guys at the table, they're like, all right, we got to go. They just got up and left right after that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they had the opposite reaction.
No. They literally were like, okay, guys, we got to go. And I was like, Fran, I think you don't remember any of this. I was like, Fran, nope. I think we may have just scared them off. Like, we started kissing and they were like, we're out of here.
Don't remember any of this.
That's too bad. I remember it. It was nice.
What kind of kiss was it?
Just a quick...
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. That's fine.
Yeah, on the lips.
It's not like we were making out in front of these guys.
No, we weren't making out in front of these guys, but they were very taken aback.
Yeah,
They were not expecting me and you to just kiss.
Well, you know.
They got a nice
Literally,
treat.
I felt bad for what I said.
You did.
Wanted to make
and
up
you
for
know
it.
What?
Kiss and make up.
It was a good move on your part, because I forgave you immediately after.
That's the power of the kiss and make up.
Exactly.
It's the same way you treat your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever, you say something mean, you're like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Give me a kiss.
Yeah,
give me
a kiss. Yeah. Well,
I do it to Joe, so clearly I felt comfortable doing it to you, too.
And I just thought it was funny that these guys were like, okay, that's where we draw the line.
Have a nice night, ladies. Yeah, but you just gotta kiss your pals.
That's it. And so maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah, like, hey, maybe Rita Ora said something mean. I don't know.
Maybe Rita Ora said something mean to Tessa Thompson and then said, hey, come in.
Yeah,
let me
give you a kiss. They just all love each other so much. We know that the Kardashians keeping up, their show is gonna end, and they want to fill the space on E! Ryan Seacrest is the man who really catapulted that show. He backed them big time, executive producer, the whole thing. So Page Six wrote an article claiming that Ryan Seacrest is out there looking for who's going to take that spot, who's going to be the next quote unquote Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It's that you're never going to find anyone who could do it, but who could come close? So Page Six hears that apparently he has his eyes on the Thorne family, Bella Thorne and her sisters, and his camp has denied that this is happening, but, you know, insiders are saying that, you know, they could be a perfect replacement is the quote. So there's Bella, Danny, their half-sister, Kylie, their mom, you know, the whole kind of thing. It would be very interesting. It's a total opposite kind of vibe of Kardashians, but maybe that's what they need.
I feel like the Thorne family is very messy, more than people would know publicly. I think that Bella Thorne has kind of hinted at it in some interviews and other things in her life. Her mom is a manager, and I think that her mom and her maybe didn't get along at some point, and she also has other siblings. I just feel like the reality show Kardashian era of reality shows is over for E! I think that it was on in its prime. Streaming services weren't really out.
Yeah.
It was something to tune into every week.
Yeah.
Cable television.
Yep.
And I just don't think that's in anymore. Obviously, with Bravo shows, everybody watches Real Housewives and Summer House and Southern Charm and things like that. But those have been on for a few years now.
Yeah.
I think starting a new reality show on E! Isn't really going to pick up like it did with the Kardashians years and years ago. I think reality shows on Netflix and Hulu will pick up because people will watch anything that is put out on those services. But just to put, like, the Thorne family reality show on E!, I don't think it's necessarily going to jump off like they may think. Of course, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'd watch Bella Thorne's family reality show. Yeah. But am I tuning in weekly to watch that on E!? Probably not. I'd probably watch it if it was on anything else. But I just don't see it jump. I don't see any family, unless they're so outrageous, jumping off like the Kardashians did.
It'll never jump off that way. I don't know if it's necessarily, like, dead completely. I feel like they could create something that is enticing enough that they're wackos, that family, you know? Like, there's probably some weird shit, relationship stuff, family stuff, like, really getting into it would be very, very interesting. And I think that, like, with some of the way that people watch TV now, it is possible to do it. Like, I have YouTube TV, so YouTube TV has unlimited DVR. So, like, I just, like, I have all the shows that I watch still scheduled on my YouTube TV, and so when I go into, like, my library, it's all there. Kardashians, Housewives, like, everything is right there. So it kind of feels like I'm watching on a streaming service, even though I'm not. Well, I guess kind of technically, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, I'm not watching on cable, and I'm not watching live Wednesday at 8 p.m., but I can watch it. I can fast forward through the commercials, so I don't have to see the commercials and still consume it like that. Because that's how I still watch the Kardashians. And yeah, like, I'll fall behind a few episodes of the Kardashians, but I still watch all the episodes. I'm just surprised. And you know who what family I thought of that was, like, it seemed to me maybe a clear choice for a reality show on E, not the Thorns, the Culpo sisters. I really thought that they were, one, already getting a reality show. There were rumors about that a while back that, you know, there were, I think it was maybe on Dumas. Or I don't even know if Dumas even existed, but there was.
It was on Dumas.
It was on Dumas that, like, Christian McCaffrey was waiting to propose because they were maybe going to get this reality show and wanted to do it on the show. But I don't know if there's any truth to that. But I'm interested in that too, because I thought, like, that made a lot of sense. But also, maybe they're just, like, too normal. No, like, because that's very possible, where it's like, hey, you can test and we'll see what happens. But, like, if there's nothing crazy happening, it's probably not going to be as enticing to an audience. But, you know, they have babies, boyfriends, younger siblings, like, they have a huge range of people that they could have on a show like that. So I felt like maybe that made a lot of sense, but I just also, that nothing came out of that as of now.
Yeah, I think that the Culpos would be interesting. I think the Thorns would be interesting. All of these families would be interesting for sure. But I think when you're looking for the next Kardashians or somebody to fill that spot, I think it's never going to happen. And I think there were so many factors that went into the Kardashians that made them who they are. One being, it's something you are turning into tuning into every week.
Yeah. And there was no social media at the time, so we got all of our information then.
So you want to get into these people's lives, and the only way you're finding out about these people's lives, besides tabloids, is you're tuning into the show, and you're finding out all the drama on the show. Also, the background of the family. Rob Kardashian was very famous. Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce at the time. Like, there were other factors that went into the Kardashians being very well known besides Kim Kardashian being famous. They had a family history behind them, and it was very interesting, and so many of them. And
they were also either famous or fame adjacent.
Right. And not only that, you got Brody Jenner and Brandon Jenner, and Brody Jenner was on The Hills, and you got all these people coming into the mix that just made them, you must watch. You have to see what this family's doing. And I don't think any other family lives up to that right now, or is going to anytime soon. Yeah. Obviously, one day there is going to be another family out there that takes off, but I don't think it's going to happen with the Thorns.
Too soon.
Yeah, it is too soon.
It's too soon. They're going to have to wait a while to really find something, I think. Ariana Grande shared photos from her small wedding at her house. The photos are stunning. I think I saw a lot of people kind of saying that they were shocked by this look for her. I really wasn't shocked. It made a lot of sense to me, like sleek, sexy, the dress was Vera Wang, like it was stunning. And I just, like, that's kind of what I pictured.
I pictured the same exact thing we talked about. You said she was going high pony. I said that maybe she was going to wear her hair down.
Yeah.
She did do a pony situation. I think it might have been half up, half down, but she did pony it to her wedding. Mm-hmm. And she looked amazing. I think that that dress was so perfect for
beautiful.
Her. So subtle, but sexy and sleek and understated. But that's perfect for the kind of person she is, because I think that she doesn't need her aura as a human being is so large that she doesn't need a larger than life dress.
No.
She just glows in just such a simple dress like that.
Yeah. And her glam, her makeup was perfection. She's also very small.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just funny because I kind of think of you guys like together, like they're just short people. Like,
that's the kind of dress I would wear at my wedding.
Like, I just feel like it's hard to do the big princess dress, things like that. And Ariana Grande, in these pictures you can see, and you can look at them on Vogue too, she's wearing, Dalton, that must be very tall. And I know she is very short, but like, she's wearing 8-inch heels. Like, the heels she has on are ginormous. And she's still not even close to being as tall as him. Like, look at how high that heel is and where she falls on Dalton's face. She's still like up to his nose.
It's unbelievable. I don't even know how anybody walks in that
heel.
I know.
It was, the shoes were insane.
Her feet had to be killing her. She had to have changed out of those immediately.
Yeah, I guess maybe like, because they're kind of Gaga-esque, where the top of them have such a big platform that your foot isn't actually arched as much. Because it's like, there's...
Sometimes those are easier to walk
That's what I'm saying. Like, they just are straight up like a staircase. Like, you're just giving yourself
lifts
straight up 6 inches, and you're rising. Elevator shoes, you're on your way up.
Yeah, the whole thing is awesome. I love that we got to see pictures from it, because... Yeah. For a little bit, I was like, I don't know if we're going to see anything from this wedding. They have been keeping their relationship very private. But thank you, Ariana Grande, for sharing this with us, because now we got to see these beautiful photos.
So beautiful. And he looked very handsome. He really did.
Snaps for Dalton.
No, you know, it was his wedding day, too.
Yes, it was. Yes, he did get married as well.
You know,
to his Ariana Grande, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, and the way they, like, did the whole house with the vines and the candles, very, very intimate and beautiful. And the jewels, of course, like just the Rain Schwartz diamonds, and just
unbelievable,
absolutely stunning photos. And it looks like they just got married in this room. It was just like, I do. Okay, we're married. You know, not a huge spectacle, not a huge thing, but it's just stunning.
I love
beautiful
that.
Table. Doesn't that just look lovely? I love a nice table with a lot of green, a lot of greenery, which is what she had. I love, obviously, flowers and colors, too, but, like, foresty kind of vibes is, I think, very pretty.
R.I.P. my sister's wedding. That's what Woodland. It was going to look like.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Ending on a sad note.
Yeah, but good for Ariana Grande because she got to have hers.
She did. She did.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, everyone, we are here with a very special guest, actress and now podcaster, Sophia Bush. Welcome to the show, Sophia.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You have your full setup, so professional, ready to go. How has it been kind of like deep diving into the podcast game?
For me, it's been so much fun because, even in terms of the tech, which you're being very kind, you're like, you have your pro setup. I'm like, yeah, but we didn't talk to the audience about the disaster it was for us to all get on the same page. So thank you for that kindness. But podcasting for me feels like such a natural extension of my general curiosity. And it's a really good place to put it because you don't have time to have, you know, deep 30, 40, 60 minute conversations on set with people that you find really interesting because you have to like be on your mark and do the thing and say the lines. And for me, in terms of loving science and being politically active and existing in activist spaces, this has been this incredible arena that I've gotten to step into and be as curious as I want to be. And I'm not on anybody's clock but mine. And it's sick. So I love it.
And I really like the name of the podcast, Work in Progress, because it's you're just always learning. You're having these interesting conversations, like you said. And you also have an amazing podcast voice. I'm sure I'm not the first person to tell you that, but you really do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Recently, I've had a lot of people on Twitter asking me if I will do the bedtime stories on that.
Calm app.
Calm. Yes.
Yep.
Which is... is so funny to me because they, I don't know, I never even considered that. I was saying to you guys, like, my dream person to announce everything to me is Morgan Freeman. Like, I just want my Siri to be his voice. So it's such a trip to me that people feel that way about mine, but thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
you should do it. The Calm app is awesome. You know, they've had like
Harry Styles,
Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, some they like it's a comp. That's like the highest form of voice compliment when people say you got to be on the Calm app.
Yeah,
that's how I felt. Also, speaking of Matthew McConaughey, how sick would it be to just have him in an affirmation, just being like, you're going to be all right, all right. I would love that.
Exactly. But you can do it on your podcast, too. Like, if you just want to slip in some bedtime stories at the end of your show, like maybe.
Put everyone getting to sleep. Sleepy.
Exactly. I'm just throwing it out there, just throwing out ideas. But is it like a one-woman show that you're working with? I'm sure you have other people helping you, but you were setting up the mic. You were talking about the levels. How did you learn all of this?
I think that there's a great benefit, you know, coming from what I do for my day job, because I'm a bit of a tech nerd and you really do have to be proficient in supporting your audio team as an actor, unless you want to be a real asshole, which I don't. And I always joke that I work for the sound department, really, because I wire myself and I wire other people all the time on set to help save time. And I think coming from that experience on set and then taking it all the way back to doing theater in high school and, you know, sound teching shows, I've always really enjoyed this part. And with the pandemic, it became an immediate requirement overnight. I had to know how to manage my Zoom board and, you know, handle the audio and do things. And we do have a great team. You know, I get to show up and do what I do. I have a researcher who puts prep docs together. Then I go in like a lunatic because research is my favorite thing. And I redo them all the time. And it took a while to be like, no, it's not that anything's wrong with your doc. It's just that this is how I prep. Like, I go in and I take the thing and then I completely rewrite it. And then I get to pass it off to great, you know, engineers. I have a phenomenal editor, a guy named Josh Windisch, who kills it. And they help me kind of put everything together on the back end and then deliver a neat little package that goes into the digital ether. And that's not my spiritual gift. This part is more my speed. So it's nice to have a great support team. And, you know, I don't think I could do it without all these people who've helped me do this so far. So it's really a group of humans I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Caitlin is sitting across from me right now. She's like looking at her computer, taking notes, blushing because she knows I'm talking about her.
Yeah. Our producer is like loving this talk. He's like, producer talk? Great. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Well, it's such a thing I think so often about, again, in this space and also in my day job, because even right now we're on Zoom. So there's two camera angles. I can see the two of you and you can see me. And just like on a television show, if this were a scene that were to be cut together, the three of us would look like we were alone together.
Right.
But in reality, there's camera people everywhere. There's sound people working. There's such a huge crew that's required to put together anything creative. And those are the people I just want to shout out all day, because they're often invisible in the final product, but the final product wouldn't exist without them.
Totally. And I feel like we've talked about this recently with other actors and actresses that come on the show and have done something or started filming something in the fall and it's being released now. Mm-hmm. And you just think about the team has put in so much work, especially in the pandemic, to get things going. And just shout out to all the editors, producers out there. Noah, this one's for you.
Yeah, it's been crazy. But we were looking at your, you know, your last two episodes, and the guests you've had on are so cool because they vary so greatly. Like, you're talking about the vaping problem that this country has. You're talking about Jose Andres. You're talking to Ben and Jerry. Like, so many cool things. And are you like picking just all your guests from like, hey, I kind of just want to learn more about what this person's doing?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Just people that I think are fascinating. And then I think it's interesting because sometimes we'll go places with people that an audience might think they know that are unexpected. You know, Chelsea Handler's one of the funniest human beings alive. And she made me laugh my ass off when she came on the podcast. And we talked about her going to therapy and understanding what trauma is. And people were like, whoa, that was like kind of really deep. And you know, there's a curiosity about what makes people tick for me. So whether it's talking to her about that journey, talking to Jose Andres about the kind of poetic love that he has for food and for people because of it.
Yeah.
Or talking to Hillary Clinton about all the shit people don't know about her and how cool she is. Getting to speak this week to this incredible scientist, Gladys West. Like, she's unbelievable. She helped create GPS. And, you know, she was one of the first four Black employees at Dahlgren working for the U.S. Navy analyzing satellite reports. And I'm like, was it so crazy to do that as a woman during an era of the beginning of integration? And she's just like, yeah, a lot was going on. She's so casual about it. And I'm just so fascinated whether people come from a, you know, a science background, a social justice background, entertainment, politics, writing, music. I think people are so cool.
Yeah, and it definitely seems like you really want to dive deep. It's not just like surface level conversation. You really want to find out more, like you said, what makes that person tick. When you are coming up, you're preparing for your interview, like you said, you have the docs, you're going through it, you're rewriting shit. Are you writing down a bunch of questions that you have, or are you just coming up with the questions as you go along?
Yeah, I keep a format for questions, and then sometimes I use it and sometimes I don't. But without it, I think I'd feel scared. It's kind of like, as an actor, I'm always walking around on set during rehearsal with my sides in my hands, but I don't look at them very often. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't have them, I feel like I would blank on my lines during rehearsal. It's like such a weird...
It's like a security blanket.
Know. Just to know it's there.
Yeah, if you panic, right.
Yeah, but there's always something that I discover about someone in an interview that's unexpected. And then I want to pull at that thread and, you know, follow it and see where it goes. And I will say it's so cool when I get to the end of talking to someone and they say, I've never told that story before. Or especially with, you know, really public figures, I'll get an email from, you know, someone on their team or someone who works with them and say, I've never heard them tell that story before. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
That makes me feel so proud.
Yeah.
It feels super rewarding. Like, yeah.
It totally is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we agree funny. From our end too. It's just the same kind of thing. We're like, when we walk out of the room, it's like, wow, we had no idea that mm-hmm. happened to them or that they had that right? life experience. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, what made you guys want to start your podcast? I'm sorry. Look at me.
Yeah, I'm interviewing you. It's funny that
but I'm so curious.
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking in my head. I was like, I'm asking her questions about how she interviews people. Meanwhile, going into this, I was like, oh, I'm nervous. I got to write.
Yeah,
down
we got
questions.
We got a little meta there for a second.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. It's like, what's going on here? But we were both two of the first women to start at Barstool Sports, and we really just bonded over pop culture and. We
our love
saw,
for TV, yeah, movies,
all that, and mm-hmm. we basically just started on Instagram making videos, very short form, like 1 minute videos. People wanted to see more podcasts. Where obviously, you know, everyone was making a podcast, and they were like, "You guys should make a podcast." And we thought no one would listen to it.
It was like 3 years ago,
and yeah, and mm-hmm. we were so wrong. Like, people really do love podcasts. They were right.
yeah.
So.
I don't know. I think there's something so. Human about that, though. I had the same feeling. I was like, who is gonna what? And it took enough people in my life saying, no, you're really good at asking questions, and you're a great conversationalist, and there's people you can text that not everybody can. And there was something about that lit my brain up, where I thought, oh, it is such an immense privilege to have done the work I've done and now be able to text Gloria Steinem and ask her a question about the civil rights movement. Like, what? That blows my mind that's my life. Like, if you told 14-year-old me, who just was, you know, looking at a picture of Gloria and Dorothy on her wall, that would be my future, I would have probably spontaneously combusted. And I find that being able to share those conversations is actually a really excellent way, not only to lean into curiosity, but to spend your privilege.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that especially in the podcast space too, social media and access to social media, like putting an episode out and then being able to read people's responses or hearing what they feel about it, if this resonated with them, if this didn't resonate with them, is a really cool aspect to it also, because that's when you're thinking, when you're speaking and you're like, is anybody listening to this? Is this helping anyone? Am I sharing? Like, am I making anyone laugh? And just get the feedback of people being like, that was really funny, or we really liked that, or we didn't know that about you. Yeah. It's cool. It's the same kind of thing. Like, you know, your podcast is so incredible. You speak to these incredible people, and we speak to incredible people as well. We're speaking to you right now. But this is like, it's another access where not only do you get to access these amazing people, but you get to access the people at home too, which is it's cool. It's really cool.
And I feel like a lot of times when you're talking on the podcast, or at least for me, the stuff that I worry about that I said, and not in a way that's like I said something wrong, but like being more honest than usual. Like, there were episodes where we talked about my anxiety or just like other things like that. And I'm like, oh, should I put that out there? And
then family things, mental health.
And we put it out there, and the response is so overwhelming compared to like a normal episode that makes you appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting because we all have that very... It's such a very human fear to think, oh, if I expose this vulnerable part of myself, people will lean back and go. But really, when you open up about something, everyone leans in and says, oh, you too. And it's such a wild thing that we learn that lesson. We have to learn that lesson over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think there's something so rad about this space because... To your point, whether you're laughing hysterically, having a super silly conversation, or you're getting into something like a topic that surrounds mental health or talking about family dynamics, which for so many people can be so difficult, you can find more of yourself in every arena and out in the world. We're only encouraged to share the highlight reels and the happy stuff. And it's like, maybe I learned the most about myself through this joyful experience, or maybe I learned so much about myself through this experience that required my own self-interrogation or my own vulnerability with other people. And I don't know, I think there's something that lets us both as hosts, you know, the interviewers, the interviewees, and our audiences, I think this space of true conversation lets us all be so much more ourselves. I'm very enamored with it. Like, God, I sound like I'm writing a love letter. What's wrong with me?
I love your passion for it. Yeah. What has the feedback been like for you?
It's been so cool. You know, some of the things that are really tremendously meaningful to me are when somebody says, you and this guest articulated a conversation about a subject and I've been trying to find the words, and I shared this with my family. My family and I don't see eye to eye on politics or on whatever the cultural conversation might be. And this helped. This was a gateway for us. I asked my parents to listen to this with me, or I sent this to my sister, and then we had a great conversation. That stuff has been so... I don't know what the word for this feeling is, but I realize I need to come up with it because you guys can see me and other people probably can't. But it like stops me in my tracks. It makes me just feel like I'm really tapping into, you know, my best purpose. Like I'm able to do some good, and that feels very cool. And to have moments that are that kind of profound feeling, and then also, you know, have somebody say, oh, I was having the roughest week and I listened to you interview this person and I just laughed for an hour. I'm like, I love this.
It's just the best feeling.
It really is. It really is. We want to talk about your television journey as well, because we were watching the, little teaser trailer for Good Sam. And I'm just curious because, you know, you've been in this space, you've done the television drama series, and I'm sure you've been offered tons of different television drama series down the line. What drew you to Good Sam and specifically like kind of this role?
Oh, man. It's just so good. The show is just so good. It's actually so good. I was kind of pissed about it because network TV is so amazing because you get to connect with such a big audience, and it's really tough because the schedules are insane and you never get to live where your family lives. And for a person like me who just like, I need to hug my people. FaceTime is fine for a while, but I don't know. I'm like a puppy. I just want to snuggle.
Yeah.
The distance can be really hard. And I spent so long on location that for a while I thought, I'm really going to lean into doing these movies that I care about, which is also weird because now so many things are coming out at the same time.
Right.
False Positive's coming out and Good Sam launched its trailer. And I'm like, whoa, all of this work we've been doing behind the scenes is like hitting the mainstream. But I was really kind of debating what I wanted to do. I worked on this great show on Netflix called Easy with this badass director, Joe Swanberg. And Joe and I started talking about writing something after he took a break to be with his family. And I was all in on that. I was like, yeah, let's just like write another cool Netflix show. We'll do 6 episodes and then it'll be over forever. Yeah. What an experiment that will be for me. And then an agent who represents writers that I really trust, because I've met with him on a bunch of stuff and he's sourced some really good material for me to consider producing. And he said, I have this script you have to read. And I was like, oh, okay, what is it? You know, and where do you see it? And when should we produce it? And he was like, no, for you to act in. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. Is it an indie movie?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? And he was like, no, it's going to be a network drama. And I was like, dude, come on. And he was like, just read it. And I read it. And I remember just being like, oh shit, this is my show. Like, I know that this is my show. And I, you know, it's tongue in cheek to say the oh shit part, because honestly, I'm so in love with it that I was like, well, obviously we're doing this. But it is funny because I'm like, well, here I go. I'm going on location again. But it's just a phenomenal piece of writing. Katie Wesch is an incredible writer. And I don't want to be like, part of me thinking about this sentence makes me want to barf because it's so cliche at this point, but to be like, it's just so amazing to be written by a woman. But really it is.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just different. And it's like every single one of my favorite kinds of shows wrapped into one, and it feels like a fresh take. And even just the main sort of relationship dynamic of tension and frustration being between my character and her father, rather than like, you know, a girl and some guy she has a crush on, it just feels fresh.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun making this pilot. I just am geeked that I'm going to go to work every day and make this a show and get to share it with everybody.
Yeah, and the point that you brought up about, you know, it sounding cliche, but it being a woman writer mm-hmm. so awesome, it's that mm-hmm. you know the way that they're writing the script is accurate, right? Because it's like when an older guy is writing the voice of a woman, you're like, this isn't really how we talk. But when a woman's writing it, they get it.
Totally. You know, my girlfriends from One Tree Hill and I talk about that all the time. We're like, girls don't talk to each other the way we had to talk to each other on that show.
Yeah.
And also don't behave the way we had to behave on that show. Like, come on. That was like some gross older man's fantasy and it was icky.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we fought like hell to have these badass moments for the girls we played. And I'd like to think we had a few. But we talk about just what it feels like to be in an environment where you're so respected. Mm-hmm. And our show was not only fun for me and for Sky Marshall, who plays my best friend, all of the guys working on our show were like, this is the best set we've ever been on. And, you know, for me to be the number one on the call sheet and then our director to be a woman and our three executive producers to be a woman and our showrunner to be a woman, all the guys were like, this is great here. Can we stay here?
Yeah.
Can we do more of this? And I was like, yeah, welcome to our team. It's pretty nice, right?
It feels like when guys are like dying to know what a girl's bathroom is like, right? They picture it with like the couch and like pretty flowers and everything. I feel like that's also so cliche, it's kind of like that. Yeah. Also, you mentioned, you know, talking to your girlfriends from One Tree Hill. We've had Hillary Burton on our show before, and we kind of touched on that with the,
I cried after the interview. Cried after the interview. I was like, she was so amazing.
She's amazing. The best. And we kind of touched on that same thing that you brought up. But I did want to say that I feel like Brooke, as the seasons went on, was really empowering to look up to because she did kind of build her own empire. Yeah. She really became her own woman. She didn't let anybody step on her. And I feel like watching that was really inspiring.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, maybe the beginning seasons were like a little like, you know, Brooke's in the back of the car, naked or whatever.
Oh, yeah. But, again.
Yeah.
We had some fights about that. But yeah, one of the things I really wear like a badge of honor is that my bosses were like, it's just so much easier to stop fighting with you about this. So we're just going to start steering this woman in a direction that will make you call us less about how it's inappropriate to behave this way. Like, okay. And it's funny because in the beginning, I couldn't relate to Brooke, but I had to love her. And by the end, I felt like I had a sister or something. There's so much about her that I loved and so much about her that I think actually helped me find myself. She was bolder before I was. She never cared about her mistakes. You know, for me, making a mistake is like, oh my God, it's failure. You know, when you grow up with like a weird complex of perfectionism, the irony is that you're always failing because perfect is impossible. Which is, again, the point of being a work in progress. And for me, there was something about looking back at this woman who was like, yeah, I made a mistake. Who cares? What does that have to do with my worth? Where I was like, oh, wow, that's a revolutionary idea. So I cherish her. And it's funny because I feel defensive of her, like in the way that if anyone comes for Hillary, I'm like, oh, you've made a grave mistake because now you have to deal with me. Yeah. Like, I feel the same way about Brooke Davis. And then I'm like, she's not a real person, but like, she's a real person to me.
Yeah. No, the show was such a phenomenon and still is because it reaches like a whole nother generation now with streaming services and people fall in love with these characters all over again. You know, Rhea and I have watched One Tree Hill start to finish more times than we like to admit to you. But it's interesting now looking back and seeing how the ladies on the show were portrayed like in the media in like 2004, 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. And how much that has changed. But also I can't help but think like how crazy it would have been for you guys too if social media was around then. Like, how do you think you guys would have handled social media at that age? Would it just, or would it have been a disaster?
I am so glad that we didn't have to deal with that nonsense. I worry so much about kids. And look, we were in our early 20s playing high school kids, but we didn't know anything. We were babies.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on FaceTime with Hillary and Joy yesterday, and we were just talking about some of the things that are so crazy because, you know, we talk about our lives and we giggle and we talk shit. And then inevitably we always have some aha moment about before. We were just all sort of sharing these thoughts we'd had. And I was like, you guys, it hit me the other day that when we started our show, I was only 3 years out of having grown up in an all-girls school where I wore a uniform.
Yeah.
Like, what? I knew nothing about dynamics, let alone high school dynamics between boys and girls, let alone being a cheerleader. Like, I didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
And Joy just about fell out of her chair. She was like, oh my God, like, it makes it even crazier that you were the one who had to play Brooke Davis, because, like, literally you had no idea what was happening. And we were just kind of cackling about it because we felt like little kids. And when we look back now, we realize how young we were and how naive we were and how, unfortunately, we didn't get to grow up on a set where people wanted to answer our questions or help us navigate any of the madness of the early aughts. And it was madness, and it was actually, like, kind of scary and intimidating and confusing. And, you know, you would just be, like, thrown onto some carpet and everyone was like, smile. And you're like, oh my God, I can't. I'm smiling and it looks cool, but on the inside, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I'm so scared. And I think about how intense it felt. And we didn't have to deal with Instagram or Twitter. Right. We didn't have to deal with, you know, troll farms and online haters and all of these things that are so hard to handle.
Yeah,
and
I just think accounts.
Like, what is that? And I just think about how hard it was at 21 to feel like a grown up, and we didn't have to deal with that. So now I think about actual 16-year-olds being kids who are having to exist in this whole other two-dimensional online world, and it looks really real. So I guess I'm very grateful. I'm also a little sad for the young people that don't have the experience of growing up free of that and that pressure and that toxicity. And I think the one thing I would offer is, like, please don't compare your insides to someone else's outsides. Instagram, all of that stuff, it's just a highlight reel, and it's not a real world. And I think we should absolutely gas people up, our friends and strangers, and celebrate their wins and be excited for them. And I think it's an incredible tool to share news and what's happening, you know, especially with movements and with how people are treated, you know, whether it's Black Lives Matter or Me Too. Social media has enabled these conversations, but I know it can also make people feel really small. And there's enough in our lives that makes us feel that way already.
Yeah.
So I hope we can offer ourselves a little bit of space to not lean on that so much.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we didn't have to, my God.
I know. Yeah. I mean, definitely the point of it being a highlight reel, it's like, even myself, I'll like post a selfie and then realize an hour earlier I was just crying hysterically. But then people see that selfie and they're like, oh, she's so happy and great. And it's like, meanwhile, I was bawling my eyes out an hour earlier and you didn't see any of that. So it's really just a highlight reel. And I really hope everybody gets that now, even though, like you said, the people growing up in it, it must be so hard. And I also would imagine, you mentioned you guys were in your early 20s when you were doing the show, but you were playing high school students. So you must have gotten treated like high school students on set.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It was weird because in some ways we were treated like adults. We were really, you know, looking back on it, we can see the ways in which we were fetishized and you know, we had this sort of lens of adultification put over us, this idea that we were supposed to know everything and have answers and be ultimately professional when we didn't even know what the technical terms were.
Right.
It was like, get on your mark. And you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. What is a mark? What do you mean? Pulling focus. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So we were expected to be these adults. And yet we were also looked at kind of as pawns, and we had grown-ups who we trusted, who now we understand were being really controlling and manipulative, who didn't want us to be close because they thought we would like band together and ask for more money. And it's like, what? It's just so weird. And then those were not things we were aware of at the time. And there was, you know, there's the flip side. There was no social media where people were talking about this stuff and giving people advice and talking about figuring out if you were being paid equitably and all these things. We didn't have any of that. We were just in the dark. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was like, well, you know how to do this. And we all were like, yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. We know. We're professionals.
Yeah.
Look at us. And on the inside, we were terrified.
Yeah.
So it's such a crazy thing to look back on, like so much joy and so much confusion all existing at the same time. And I think that's why when I can fast forward into this position today, you know, having gone and spent the last couple of years making films and making television that I really care about and feel passionately about, and making sure that my sets, you know, as a number one, as a producer, as a coworker who shows up for my friends who are number ones, who are producing badass shit, like False Positive, I want my sets to be really, yes, professional. Like, we're not here to tolerate a bunch of dilly-dallying or bullshit, but we're also supposed to be really fun and expansive. I want sets that I work on to be places where people can ask any question and get it answered, where we can hold ourselves to a degree of excellence as a challenge, not as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where it can just be fun. Like, my God.
Yeah.
We were in quarantine in Toronto shooting Good Sam, and we had so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like weird and it was scary and it was a blast. And I'm just so proud of us because we created something really special. And the night we wrapped, of course, I was like sobbing like a baby. And I look up and, like, you know, guys on my crew are in tears and everyone's hugging each other and everyone is talking about what a great experience this has been. And that's the energy I want it to be, because I know what it feels like when it isn't.
That, yeah, it must be such a relief to be able to build that environment and to know that now you're kind of in the driver's seat. Like, you can make these decisions and these calls. And we're so excited to watch Good Sam. It's going to be on CBS. And False Positive, like you mentioned, we'll be able to watch on Hulu, I believe, like in June, I think, right?
Yeah, so, June 25th it comes out.
Yeah, and that cast is fantastic. Just like, after every name, I was like, whoa, Lana Glazer, Justin Theroux, Pierce Brosnan? I was like, damn, this is awesome. So that seems really, really exciting. And we're so thankful that you came to speak with us. I know we kind of have to wrap up now. We could have talked to you forever.
I feel like we could have talked to you for a whole other hour.
I know. But this was so, so nice. And we're so excited to watch these projects and see them and talk about them and continue to listen to work in progress. And we're so thankful that you came on our show.
Oh, thank you guys so much. This has been such a ball. Yeah. You honestly have left me just feeling so happy. Yeah. So I get to carry on the day with a smile on my face. Thank you.
Us too.
Us too. And we hope that you come back on the show soon, because I feel like we can keep talking.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, anytime.
Thanks, thank you, Sophia. So much. Nice meeting you.
Thank you, ladies.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope you have a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. And just a reminder, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you click that subscribe button. We appreciate all the people subscribing. We love you guys. And if you're just listening on the way that you listen to podcasts on Apple, Spotify, whatever it is, make sure you click subscribe as well. We love you guys. Have a great weekend. And we will talk to you not on Monday, but on Wednesday.
Have a great weekend.